Let us pray as we come to God's word this evening. Our Father and our God, speak, Lord, for your servants hear. Help us to hear your voice clearly, and let the things you have to say penetrate our sometimes hard hearts and soften them. Penetrate our sometimes resisting conscience and convict us. But most of all, let your words, O God, form Christ in us. For his sake, amen. Our text this evening is in Galatians chapter 4, verses 12 through 20. Galatians 4, beginning at verse 12. I beg of you, brethren, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You have done me no wrong, but you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time. And that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Where then is that sense of blessing you had? For I bear you witness that if possible you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth. They eagerly seek you, not commendably, but they wish to shut you out so that you will seek them. But it is good always to be eagerly sought in a commendable manner, and not only when I am present with you. My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you, but I could wish to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. Brethren, when you are up to your neck in alligators, it is easy to forget your job was to drain the swamp. That sums up the problem the Galatians had in their understanding of the gospel. Paul nails that in verse 19, my children with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. When he first preached to them, his goal was for Christ to be formed in them. As he said in chapter 2 and verse 20, his goal was to show them that and have them be able to say with him, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. In a sense, it's to, he preached the gospel to, so that they could see, barely see, when they ceased to be acting and Christ started to act. He wanted to see them of one mind and one heart. That was what he wanted when he preached. And he expands on that in Romans chapter 6, 4 through 7, when he says, therefore we have been buried with him, that is with Christ, through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Because if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, so that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. It's all about a complete change of life. Now, that goal is nothing less than the goal of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But under the influence of the Judaizers, the Galatians have forgotten and perhaps abandoned that goal. As a result, they're now becoming alienated from both Paul and Christ. And so, Paul is frustrated. Listen to Paul's concerns. His concern is that the Galatians have left him behind as the one they heard gladly in the beginning, as their teacher and their model of what a Christian is like. Look at verses 13 through 18. You know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time, and that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Where then is that sense of blessing you had? He's perplexed. When he preached to them in Galatia, he did so as an earnest but physically challenged preacher. We don't know the details. Men like Dr. Machen and others believe that perhaps he had an eye injury or his eyesight was failing him at the time, because he talks about them loving him enough to be willing to do what it took to show their appreciation. In this case, you would have plucked out your eyes for me. You would have given me your eyes if you could have. That's how much you love me. But look what's happened in verse 16. So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? The truth he's talking about, of course, is the truth about the Judaizers and their false doctrine, and telling them that by following them, they're falling away from Christ. In this letter, Paul is seeking to restore the relationship he had with the Galatians. And the relationship was preaching a certain kind of life. I beg of you, brethren, verse 12, become as I am, for I have become as you are. You have done me no wrong. In other words, follow me as I follow Christ, was his thinking. He has diagnosed the reason for the rupture in their relationship, and it's the Judaizers and their influence. Verse 17, they eagerly seek you, not commendably, but they wish to shut you out so that you will seek them. Notice, seek them, not seek Christ. The Judaizers' goal is nothing less than to cut them off from reliance on Christ, then, by cutting them off from Paul, and thus cutting them off from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if they succeed here, they will replace Paul as the only influence the Galatians have. And they, then, will abandon the gospel and be lost. Put another way, they will not only give up the teaching of Paul, they will also fall away from Christ because they will rest on their own works, thus giving up on the finished work of Christ. It is far too easy, brethren, to fall from the gospel and his focus on faith in Christ alone by grace alone and replace it with our own works. The difference between the biblical gospel and every other so-called gospel, which is actually false, is where each of them place the focus. Every other so-called gospel, every other so-called Christian religion, focuses attention on you and what you do or do not do. Christ is not the center of attention in such religions, in such false gospels, and the goal becomes to be like your favorite preacher of your chosen alternative to the gospel of Christ found in Scripture. What those alternatives do not tell you, however, is that you are departing from the perfect finished work of Christ and his goal in his finished work. So what's Christ's goal? Well, we find Christ's goals in Paul's goals in preaching the gospel, because that's where Paul found them, in Christ. First, look at the rather bizarre-sounding imagery that Paul uses in verse 19. My children, with whom I am again in labor. What a pregnant Paul! He feels that way. He sees himself as a pregnant preacher in labor, just like a mother in labor. When a mother is in labor, on one hand, they're looking forward to the birth of the child, but on the other hand, they can't stand the pain, and they can't wait till it's done. The Galatians are at this point, unexpectedly from Paul's perspective, mere embryos. They're not yet fully born again Christians. That's what it looks like from Paul's perspective. What Paul wants to do is protect them until they become dependent upon the gospel. He wants to rescue them. And he's repeating this because it alone can nourish their hearts. He's repeating the gospel. You need to be born again through Christ, because only the gospel can nourish their hearts. In effect, he sees that these Galatians were not yet the fully born babes in Christ he had thought they were. And his goal for them is nothing less than Christ-likeness, Christ formed in you when they're born again, and continually being formed in them as they mature in Christ. And until that becomes a work clearly in process, Paul is perplexed, in a sense fearful, that they will be stillborn and delivered as spiritual corpses by the Judaizing midwives. Listen again to his longing in verse 20. But I could wish to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. Any parent who's been on the phone with a hurting teen or adult child knows how this feels. I failed them somehow. I taught them something wrong, or they didn't understand, and I thought they did. Well, Paul feels like he failed the Galatians. And Paul is in the mood that would have had him say, if this Galatian church fails, it's my fault. Now he knows better. He trusts Christ. But he is their father and their mother in Christ. So Paul has two goals for his beloved Galatians. First, that they be Christ-like, in character and lifestyle conformed to the Lord Jesus' own lifestyle when he walked the earth, as he is now walking in heaven. His second goal is their safety in Christ. Anyone who has ever given birth to a premature baby has a lingering fear the child will die. The doctors worked to prevent that when my wife and I gave birth to two different sons who were premature. I don't think we ever spoke about it with each other, but the concern was there, will this child make it? And the doctors and nurses worked around the clock to make sure that nothing less than a fully healthy child would be sent home with us. Paul wants nothing less, in other words, than for the Galatians to more and more look like Jesus in their thoughts, words, and actions. And that requires that they repent of their acceptance of the Judaizing heresy and trust in Christ alone and follow him, follow Christ, where he leads them. He's not looking for them to follow Paul. Paul is looking for them to follow Christ and go where Christ leads them. And that, beloved, is what Christ wants for you and for me. It is far too easy to become spiritual narcissists and to keep our eyes on our own faith and our own walk and make idols of pastors and teachers. When I was a baby Christian, I thought the lady who was teaching me the Bible could do no wrong. And she worked hard to take me away from thinking that about her, worked hard to make me study the Bible for myself and stop relying so much on her. We trust too much in ourselves that we can do what the Scripture teaches us to do, and then we seek to do it by our own strength. Or we read the books or articles of a writer or hear an eloquent preacher or pastor, and they tell us to do things, and we do it because they said so, not because the Bible says so, but because they said so. But in the end, the result is that we quote them and not Jesus, obey them and not the rest of Scripture. We follow men, not Christ, and that was what the Galatians were doing, and that is something we must avoid. What Jesus wants you to do is what Paul says so well in verse 19. He wants to form himself in you, so that the day will come when you appear before the Father in heaven on the last day of your life when you go to heaven, or the day of the last judgment. He'll look at you and say, my, but you look so much like my son. Jesus wants us to walk, talk, teach, and pray in the same precise fashion that Jesus tells us he did in John's Gospel. Turn with me briefly to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. John, chapter 5, verse 19. I'm going to take you to a couple of different verses in John's Gospel. John 5, 19. Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Jesus wants us to say that I do nothing unless I see the Son of God doing it. And then John chapter 6 and verse 38. John chapter 6 and verse 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And then John chapter 8, in verses 28 and 29. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. For I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And then John chapter 12 and verse 49. John chapter 12 and verse 49. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to do, what to say, and what to speak. You see Jesus' dependence on the Father in these verses. That's what he wants us to have toward him, a dependence upon him as well as on the Father. He wants us to live as those who died with him and were raised with him, as Paul tells us in Romans 6. And it is Paul who puts it perfectly in Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So here is what you and I must do in response to Paul's concerns in our text. Keep your eyes on Jesus as you see him at work in the Scriptures, and pray for the Holy Spirit to conform your life to his accordingly. Read the Scriptures every day for the revealed will of God, and realize you cannot obey that will without his grace in Christ. And reject totally any teaching that says you have to add anything to what Christ has done for you or in you. Anything that teaches you that your holiness is up to you. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and pray to the Father, asking him to form Christ in you by his Spirit. And a beautiful thing that should encourage you is to realize that Paul has told us what God's goal is in our lives, to form Christ in you. Oh, may he do that with all of us and cause us to live a life of ongoing repentance from sin and faith in God's promise, to make you just like Jesus in every way. To him be the glory. Come, Lord Jesus, and do it. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, work in us and help us not to focus so much in life on what we can do. In fact, help us not to focus on our doing it, but trusting in Christ to do it through us. Help us to see clearly that what you want is what is best for us, and that you are faithful and you will do it. In Jesus' name, amen.